Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Hello, friend. Welcome back to Foul Play. Serial murder begins with a single act, the inception of a killer's deadly career. Often, it's not until multiple lives are tragically taken that law enforcement becomes aware of their existence. Each victim, with their own story, aspirations, and loved ones, is ruthlessly robbed of their future. Investigators scrutinize patterns, searching for the telltale sign of a killer's unique method and signature, uncovering a trail of historical unsolved crimes. This revelation ignites the resurgence of cold cases, prompting a relentless pursuit of justice. The Zodiac Killer did not differentiate between gender, age, or background. He operated in multiple locations, in daylight, as well as under the cover of darkness. He had used a gun and a knife in his attacks, looking to raise the bar on each successful strike. By 1969, the Zodiac Killer had shown his violent and murderous intentions four times. At Lake Herman Road, he took two victims' lives. 6 months later, at Blue Rock Springs, another life was stolen, with one terrified survivor. Before the year was out, another attack was launched that upped his violent streak and his level of depravity. At Lake Berryessa, a fourth life was taken, with a second man only just managing to survive. A month later, in another method flip, the Zodiac took his fifth life. A cab driver in San Francisco, seemingly chosen at random. He had no chance to react to the gun that was placed against the back of his head. A chilling resemblance emerged between the murder of Paul Stein, slain within the confines of his own yellow cab, and a hauntingly similar crime from 7 years earlier.
On the night of April the 10th, 1962, Oceanside Police Patrolman Terry Stevens was on shift on the south side of the district. He was patrolling a well-known and expensive area called St. Malo. The area was populated with spacious homes, expensive vehicles, and well-tended gardens. Most had an ocean view within their line of sight. It was the first gated community in Oceanside, and home at the time to both the current and former mayor of the city. At 1:45 a.m, Stevens was quiet as he moved around the neighbourhood, checking all was well. But on that night, he was to find something he didn't expect. In an alley towards the back of 1926 South Pacific Street, Patrolman Stevens found the crumpled body of a male. He was fully clothed, bearing gunshot wounds to his back and head. His chest was still and lifeless. Stevens immediately requested backup. The unknown male had been the victim of a violent assault, and the San Malo neighbourhood was now the site of a murder investigation. As detectives and forensic officers arrived at the scene, a careful sweep of the surrounding area got underway. 5 hours after the body was found, just 15 blocks away at the other end of the alley, a cab was discovered. It stood meticulously parked, facing a set of railings. While the cab appeared deserted, one detail captured the detective's focus. A single gunshot had pierced the centre of the windshield, leaving a shattered circular void amidst the cracked glass. Inside, the meter on the cab was still active. It read $2.20. On the passenger seat of the cab lay a paperback book. It was a novel written by Richard S. Prather in 1960 called Dance with Dead. Its storyline focused on a detective who unravelled mysteries and solved crimes. It didn't take long to determine that the body found 2 miles away was that of 29-year-old cab driver Ray Davis. Originally from Michigan, Ray had moved to Oceanside with his brother just 2 months earlier, after he had separated from his wife. The brothers were renting a home nearby. Now detectives had to make their way to that home to deliver devastating news. In the days after the murder, as detectives pieced together Ray's final movements, Oceanside police revealed information that turned the investigation on its head.
April 9, 1962, the Oceanside Police Department received an anonymous telephone call. The unidentified caller stated, "I'm going to pull something here in Oceanside and you will never be able to figure it out."
The call had been dismissed as the ramblings of a prankster. Now his words echoed with haunting significance. Ray Davis had started his night shift at the Checker Cab Company, as usual, the previous evening. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. At 11:10 p.m., he radioed his dispatcher, Lowell Sykes, informing him that he had picked up a fare and was en route to South Oceanside. Just 10 minutes later, the passenger in the back of his cab had decided to end Ray's life. Forensic officers collected latent prints found on Ray's cab for future analysis. The fact that his cab had been washed just hours before his shift that night suggested that these fingerprints could be crucial to apprehending his killer. Ray's autopsy carried out the following day at the San Diego County Coroner's Office revealed he had been shot in the back from behind. He was murdered with a .22 caliber gun using long rifle ammunition. A second shot made sure he had no chance of survival. The killer had placed the gun against Ray's skull and pulled the trigger. Inside his cab, Ray's life had been taken. In his pockets was cash from his earlier fares that had remained untouched by his killer. Robbery was not the motive. A simple fare, a pickup like the countless others he did every time he drove his cab. This time, the journey took a horrific turn, and Ray would not survive the night. Detectives were able to piece together what they believed had happened in Ray's cab in those last minutes. After shooting Ray, the killer climbed out of the vehicle and opened the driver's door. He had pulled Ray from the driver's seat and out onto the cold pavement, leaving him there at the mercy of the elements. It was a silent move under the night sky. The house Ray's body was found lying outside of belonged to the former mayor of Oceanside. The occupants had heard no gunshots and no cars speeding away. After leaving Ray on the ground, the killer drove away in his cab. It appears he drove for 2 miles up the alley until coming to a stop in the parking area. The moment the bullet shattered the windshield of the cab remains a mystery, lost in the eerie silence of the night. The killer, with chilling precision, abandoned the vehicle without a trace, ensuring to vanish with the murder weapon in hand. No witnesses lingered to offer insights or descriptions, leaving the sequence of events unconfirmed and obscure. The detective novel on the passenger seat was believed to belong to Ray, reading to pass the time between fares, not knowing the fate that awaited him.
Ray's murder was widely reported in newspapers, such as the Oceanside Blade Tribune and the San Diego Union Tribune. The story spread to Southern California's major publications, like the Los Angeles Times. On April the 13th, Ray Davis's funeral was held at Oceanside Church of God, before his body was taken for burial at nearby Eternal Hills Memorial Park. The brutal slaying of a cab driver, going about his ordinary duties without witnesses or apparent motive, struck a chord of tragedy and intrigue. Yet the mystery deepened when 3 days later, another call pierced the silence at Oceanside Police Headquarters.
Do you remember me calling you last week, foretelling a baffling crime? I took the life of the cab driver, and next, I'm targeting a bus driver.
With a direct link to Ray Davis, Oceanside detectives now believe this caller to be Ray's killer, and that he had made the first call, announcing his deadly intentions days before the murder. In response, armed guards were placed onto buses across the city of Oceanside. There was no way of knowing where the killer may strike. Buses that were going into the Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, less than 2 miles away, saw military armed police visible on board. All were ready to respond should an attack be made. This was a killer that eluded police in Oceanside in 1962. There were no leads to go on and very few lines of inquiry that could be followed up. Later that year, on November the 18th, an arrest was made of a Marine stationed at Camp Pendleton, who was identified by 6 victims as the man who hailed a cab and then robbed the driver. Riley Andrew Coates was initially arrested after failing to stop for a police stakeout that had been looking for carjackers. He was found taking cover under a bush, carrying a .45 caliber pistol. It was later discovered this gun had been stolen from the Marine camp. When first questioned, Coates said nothing to police. In subsequent interviews, he admitted a total of 15 robberies, with most in the LA area. Officers questioned him about the murder of Ray Davis. Coates adamantly denied he had shot and killed Ray in his cab months earlier. On December the 26th, 1962, the San Diego Union published details that Coates' fingerprints did not match those found on Ray Davis's cab. Riley Coates was ruled out as a suspect in Ray's murder. Despite the best efforts of detectives at the time, there was little they could do without further information. In 1990, 28 years after his brother's murder, Jack Davis died. 5 years later, their mother died. Both went to their graves, never knowing who killed Ray. The family are buried next to each other at Eternal Hills Memorial Park.
In 2018, Chrissy Hawthorne was the events coordinator and historian for the Oceanside Chamber of Commerce. Part of her job was to research local history and uncover mysteries she could capture and bring to the forefront. As she was investigating the history of the still elusive neighborhood of St. Malo in Oceanside, she found news reports of Ray's murder. Well aware of the shocking crimes of the Zodiac Killer, including the horrific murder of Paul Stein in San Francisco in 1969, she couldn't help but be startled by the similarities in these two cases. She spoke to Tom Heritage, a seasoned investigator with the City of Oceanside Cold Case Homicide Unit. He didn't know about Ray's murder, and immediately it grabbed his attention. He found the murder file in storage and began to list the similarities between 2 cab drivers who had both been murdered at night in wealthy areas of 2 Californian cities. A year later, in December 2019, cold case investigator Sylvia O'Brien sent the latent fingerprints found on Ray's cab to be entered into the automated fingerprint identification system in the hope of a match. To date, no match has been found.
Targeting a cabbie, taunting police, and threatening a bus driver. The same pattern of behavior would emerge years later in the Bay Area in a series of murders carried out by the Zodiac Killer. Oceanside police recently reopened the case to see if there could be a connection.
Well, we've been in touch with San Francisco PD because most of the cases were handled by San Francisco. And so we're trying to see what kind of evidence they have and compare that to what we have and see if there's anything that matches that.
Zodiac or not, the Oceanside historian is hoping forensic evidence from 1962 will lead to a break in the case.
The chances are probably minimal. I would like to think, however, that it's solvable.
The Zodiac Killer has operated under the cover of darkness in all but one of his attacks. Lake Berryessa, in contrast to the others, occurred in daylight in the afternoon. He is drawn to the concealment of darkness, a place to hide and slide away into the shadows without being noticed. Despite his seemingly preferred dark operating grounds, his actions often veered into the realm of contradiction. The unknown male's unsettling calls to police stations in this case, before and after Ray's murder, have a chilling familiarity. It could be argued they mirror the style and tone of the Zodiac's later communications to the same entities. These calls, marked by narcissism and a desire to sow panic and chaos, intensified the manhunt for him. Another common thread, the threats against buses, witnessed in both Ray Davis and Paul Stein's murders, prompted the deployment of armed guards to ensure public safety. Yet amidst these striking parallels, they stand as mere commonalities. There is no conclusive evidence linking Ray Davis's murder to the Zodiac Killer. While speculation persists that Ray Davis may have been the first victim in a string of killings, without new revelations, the truth could indefinitely stay out of reach. It is an unsolved case that remains linked in the most devastating of ways to an elusive and infamous serial killer. And it wouldn't be the only one.